It's been quite a week, and now here we are. We have a very unique occurrence of a planetary conjunction, which some label the Christmas star because of its timing of the appearance and not necessarily in connection to Jesus's birth. So unique that this was this event that it hadn't happened quite like this in 800 years. Those in our area, unfortunately, were not able to see it because we had a very cloudy night. However, the pictures from countries closer to the equator were really quite impressive. But now it's over for another few hundred years. So you can't hang on to a celestial moment. And then we had Christmas, the celebration of Jesus' birth, and for many, the opening of gifts and the consumption of a lot of yummy food. This year's festivities also included many hours logged on video chat connections to help bring friends and family together. Plus, the added bonus is that in our area, we had the rare occasion of a snowy Christmas day. It's rare, at least in recent years. But now it's over till next year. You can't even hang on to a seasonal, occasional, or even a festive moment. They come and then they go. Was the actual story of the birth of Jesus like our common experiences? Was there all this buildup and then festivity and then it's over? Kind of like a double helping turkey dinner inspired stupor. But that's a great question. Thanks for asking. Actually, it wasn't quite like that, at least from the information we've been given. There was a lot more that was taking place even following the birth of Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us, the Savior of the world. It didn't just stop. Among the events that followed the birth of Jesus is the visit of the wise men, or magi. Despite what many of our nativity sets or storybooks or paintings might indicate, the wise men didn't actually appear until after the birth of Jesus. Their appearance, however, reminds us about the importance of hanging on to hope. And if you're going to hang on to hope, the first thing you need to do is stay close to Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 19 to 22, it reads as follows. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You know, if we think about this and then transition back to the account of the wise men searching for Jesus, we notice a desire on their part to submit their lives to Jesus. In Matthew 2, the word worship is mentioned three different times. Worship is that inward desire to submit our ways to God's ways, to allow his thoughts to become our thoughts. The goal of these wise men was to draw near to Jesus, not in a geographical or physical distance kind of idea, but in their disposition, in their inclination, in their motivation. We're not told their names, we're not told their rank, we're not told the nature of their prominence. Those things don't seem to be as specific as the fact that we're told about the idea of worship on three different occasions. As we reflect on this year, it's been a challenge for those of us who have been used to attending in-person church services to be able to figure out whether we do so out of habit or we do so out of a desire to get closer, to grow in our worship of Jesus. For some, we found out that the lack of self-discipline that exists in our lives prevent us from pursuing Jesus. Even pastors and ministry leaders have struggled at finding their worth outside of their ability to put together church services on a weekly basis. We also can be guilty of submitting ourselves to religious practice, just busying ourselves with self-serving activity or our favorite music style, but not necessarily the worship of Jesus. A number of us have exposed the fact that it's not Jesus we seek, but other experiences. The wise men, though, we are told, came looking to get close to Jesus. They wanted to worship him. Secondly, Notice that in order to hang on to hope, we must stay focused on Jesus. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 reads, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful." Hold on is that strong emphasis. Let us hold unswervingly. God's reminder is simply this: hold on. You see, you don't need to hold on to something if there's no risk of being pulled away. You don't need to hold on to something if you're not going to be doing anything. You hold on because you can stay close to Jesus and allow his work of holiness to still continue to transform you. Look what the writer of Hebrews says just a few verses later in verses 32 to 36. "Remember those earlier days after you received the light when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised." You know, what I appreciate about these verses is the outspoken reminder that there are going to be circumstances that cause us to question, doubt, and diminish the hope that we have in Jesus. This is an important reminder, not only for our own lives, but as we come alongside others to disciple them and help them to develop their genuine relationship with Jesus. The tensions that come our way should not be surprising, but should prepare us to hold on, knowing that the story of our lives continues to be shaped and written as we continue to draw close to God for ourselves and with or on behalf of others. When the wise men came into Jerusalem, they are met by Herod and they are presented with some options from him. They could abandon their mission or they could stay the course, even if it meant difficult consequences for the return journey. They chose the harder path where God was leading, not necessarily the most easily accessible path. As I reflect on our journey as the SEMC through 2020, this truth has been significant. The idea of holding on to Jesus and the mission for which he has called us, even if the circumstances of this year made it seem impossible to do so. Our commitment has been to stay focused on Jesus and the means by which he has given us to function. Serve, pray, respond in God's grace. Spring. Keep it simple, do it well. How did that work out? I tried to write down a few highlights of 2020, some of the ways in which we saw God bless us as a church family here as the SCMC. And first and foremost is the leadership provided by our governing board. Stan Keita as our chairman, Tim Allen, Matt DaCosta, Jerry Hawley, Pat Hall, Scott O'Dolphy, Albert Siertzma, and myself. It's been a great pleasure and privilege to be able to serve together with these guys as we pull together information from all around us, and that information constantly changing as we made decisions based on what not only is what good for our church family, but also how that reflects to our community around us. I just really appreciate them and the way in which we led, not only for the decisions that we made. Also our staff. Christine Giffen, we saw Christine Giffen retire this year, and we're so thankful for her 10 years on staff, but also the foresight and her willingness to train last year, 2019, to train Christine DaCosta. And so when she retired, we were able to transition from one Christine to another, and we're so thankful for both of them. Amanda Prasad is our office administrator and responsible for your e-bulletins and newsletters, the postcards you received, and then the registrations for our in-person services, among many other things. Erin has been retooled again. Erin Johns retooled some of her job again this year. really taking care of a lot of our social media stuff and our website, keeping our website up to date, which has been really beneficial as we connect with, we now have a online community as well, and really appreciate her help in that. Patrick Turvey, continuing to work out what it means to be called into ministry, and thankful for the development of his gifts among us over the course of this year, as well as providing oversight for our senior high youth. And then Teresa Siertzma, our children's ministry director, and 40 weeks of Kid Jam from home. A lot of it, her and I, we've been learning video stuff together, and really appreciate not only her desire to do so, her desire to learn, and their family to get involved and use it really as a mission, and so appreciate that. And then, you know, we also received a Canada Summer Jobs Grant, and that was such a gift because it allowed us to hire Zach Chester and Lila Barr, both of whom are now, have been for the last few months, taking on a lot more of the video editing, almost exclusively all of the video editing work that we do. And those contributions have been incredible. I think you would agree with that. In addition to those things, you know, when we started back in March, we made a commitment that we were going to serve the needs of our community wherever they arose. And they arose first at Landmark Village and then at Vision, the Vision Nursing Home. And we made an effort to connect with those directors and be able to provide regular blessings to the staff and the residents there. We also made an effort to support locally owned businesses here in our community as we were blessing other organizations. And then we had our community garden, which attracted a great team. They were able to work outdoors in a physically distanced manner, and God provided a great yield that went to the Inn of the Good Shepherd and used in their community marketplace endeavors throughout our city. And then because we couldn't hold Adventure Bible Camp here in person, we didn't just scratch it. We said, what can we do? And Aaron did a great job of putting together a Adventure Bible Camp that could be put back in people's homes or in their neighborhoods with smaller groups of children, and just really appreciate the enthusiasm of those families who participated in that with us this year. And on top of that, we had about 7 or 8 families that came together and built homes to sponsor the building of homes for 7 families in El Salvador. That still continued, even though we couldn't go, that still continued, all done in the name of Jesus, and also provided encouragement and support for our community down there, the staff of Shelter Canada who worked down there as well, and was a great injection of enthusiasm for those families who participated. You know, I think one of the things that were beneficial is, again, figuring out what could we do and providing the opportunity for some people to gather here out front under the tree throughout the summer months, well into the fall. I think that was a good blessing, not only for me to be able to host that, but I think for one another to be able to see each other and to speak to one another and to get caught up. And we kind of transferred that into our in-person services these past 4 weeks through November and December, moving that coffee break idea into those times to allow some continuity there. And you know, our in-person service on a Sunday at the end of September, what a thrill that was for all of us, I think. I think, you know, one of the things that was really encouraging for, you know, some of the older people said it was really amazing to see so many families come out with young kids, and it was a blessing to be able to pray for Twyla Van Reenen as she moved away from Sarnia, and there's just a really good feeling of celebration there. That was definitely a highlight as well. And certainly we're not all able to make it out to our in-person services, but also having the opportunity to connect with many through our online, like we're doing now, many who have been part of the SCMC for a long time, but many new people as well. And we really appreciate that. your connection, your desire to learn, and your commitment, your growing commitment to participate in some of the things that we're doing. You know, on top of all that, we got to see two people get baptized, had the privilege of officiating two weddings. We had four wedding engagements. We had one baby being born to Kara and Mitch Van Reenen, baby boy Caleb. And then we have three pregnancies, three babies on the way in 2021. That's just some of them. I hope I didn't miss out too much, but that is just some of the good things that the Lord has been doing among us as we have tried to draw near to Jesus and hold on to him despite some of the things that have been trying to pull us away. Lastly, if we're going to hold on to hope, then we have to do it together for Jesus. Notice in this passage of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 22, 23, and 24 all start with this phrase, "let us," three times in this passage. And the passage that starts by addressing a group as brothers and sisters, and it concludes with underscoring the importance of encouraging one another. Holding on to hope is a group effort. It is a communal effort. It is a team effort. Don't give up meeting together, it says. As we reflect back on the birth of Jesus, it is significant not to dismiss the fact that God invited shepherds who were low on the social scale, but they were likely are also Hebrew men who shared a similar perspective on God. But at the same time, unknown to them, God was inviting these wise men, these magi, these distinguished royalties, and they were not of Jewish background. Herod's exchange with them might also indicate that they weren't alone, but traveled with an entourage, a group, or a posse, if you will. The prophecy we find in Isaiah 60, in addition to history records outside of the Bible, would contend that they likely came from a distant Arabian country, traveling weeks to arrive at the home of Mary and Joseph. They were of different ethnic backgrounds and highly likely that they were of different religious backgrounds. It's a reminder that there are no one group of people that God favors more than the other. We accomplish more together. They gave their gifts to Jesus. As the SCMC, we have endeavored to lean into modeling and promoting a generosity to our community around us. We have tried to figure out different ways to meet together around the mission of Jesus, even if we couldn't necessarily meet together physically in person for a time. Probably the best example of that is the food drive through which God enabled us to give probably 12 or 13 tons of food to local agencies who are helping local people in real need. That was really exciting to be a part of. Very humbling indeed, the amount of attention that people paid to that. We encourage simply just kind of baking, being aware of the needs of our neighbors, and noted many people were baking things and dropping them off, whether people in our church family or people that live around you. So thank you. Thank you for demonstrating the generosity of God to one another in that way. We've encouraged giving through our benevolence fund to be able to help, again, agencies and families in our community. And over $15,000 has been contributed to our benevolence offering throughout the course of this year. And we are so humbled again by God's generosity through many of you. That's another way we've been meeting together, meeting around the purpose of God, or the mission of God, the vision that God has given us. And many have been benefactors of the love of God demonstrated in the name of Jesus. And as I mentioned earlier, our El Salvador team raising funds to be able to do that outside of what we would normally do here. And God provided again and provided a very meaningful experience for the team that went through that. And then just over this last week, the giving to our Empower special Christmas offering, where I think at this point we're right close to $4,000 and 800 children being affected by that, by the generosity that God has risen up among us to be able to give his good gifts. As we meet together around his purpose to extend the love of Christ to men and women and boys and girls here in our local community and to the places he leads us to around the world. And we've been able to do all that while many of you have stayed faithful in your regular givings, in your tithes and your offerings. And the Lord is allowing us to meet our budget. While we wouldn't, well, we had some contingency plans in place, we didn't have to go there. And we're so thankful for that, because in addition to everything else that I've mentioned, God has enabled us to begin our renovation project that will make our building accessible for everybody and will allow us to have a greater impact to a greater number of people in our community in the months and in the years to come. That is an amazing thing to keep track of, isn't it? Now, as you consider all of what you've heard and as you hear our reflection over as the SCMC over 2020, we want you to know that we are striving to make a difference, to take the posture of a servant in our community, to ask God to show us how to make the best use of the resources that he's entrusting us with, and then to respond in ways that reflect his great love and compassion for the world today. We want to do that locally, nationally, and globally. This year, we have seen him lead us to be of tangible help in the name of Jesus in areas of compassion, but more so in areas of injustice. And so now, as you evaluate the year gone by, and perhaps as you make goals for the year ahead, it's likely that you would like to go through each day and week with hope, a greater hope than maybe the one that you feel right now or you're experiencing right now. So let me give you three simple ways that you can do so. Use this statement. Number one, let my next step, my next choice, be the one that honors the Lord. Even when I feel the pull away or been pulled away, this statement is always a good one. It helps us to draw close. If things are going well, it's a reminder that we always have more to learn. It's a way to draw near to Jesus. Let my next step be the one that honors the Lord. Number two, hope says, hold on tightly to Jesus, even when I don't understand or feel I'm too weak, because he is faithful. You know, sometimes pride will tell me I'm doing okay, or my sin or my mistakes aren't that big a deal, or maybe my pride might tell me that it's someone else's fault that I mess up. Hope says, hold tightly to Jesus, even when I don't understand or feel I'm too weak, because he is faithful. Number three, be part of a group of hope-filled people. Sometimes pride will say, you can do it alone, but here's something that I know. Everyone wants to be part of something greater than themselves. And a church family allows you to be one part of the greatest kingdom effort of all time. It's a rewarding, fulfilling experience that allows you to give what you're willing of your time, of your relationships, of your resources for God's purposes, together with others, and it fuels your hope. So, don't let turkey tummy be your life experience. Learn to hang on to hope, to live a lifestyle of hope every day. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of gathering over the course of these weeks in different ways. Thank you for the various means by which you give us to meet together, including this one here. And I pray, Father, that as we reflect back over this year, that you would indeed remind us of the things that we can rejoice in. Remind us of the means by which you have given us to be able to serve those around us. And that you would, Father, rekindle some hope perhaps that some have lost. But thank you most of all that we come to look to Jesus. And I pray, Father, there are those who maybe have resisted drawing close to Jesus. And I pray, Father, that today is a day where they step into his direction to recognize that he is there, ready to receive them. whether they feel they are low on the social status ladder, or Father, whether they feel like they are elite in that, shepherds or wise men, they are all welcomed by the presence of Christ. And so may new life be birthed today in the lives of those who are listening and watching. And would you rekindle hope in those perhaps who are struggling, weakened, and have a desire, perhaps an inclination of that they might just let go. May today be a reminder that you will not let go of them, but the hope held out in the gospel also holds on to them. And so we thank you for the love of Christ for us, which compels us to know him more and to make him known through our lives. Would you do that among us, we pray? In Jesus' name, amen.